Asked Nick that he'd preach for us. He's going to come and share with us in just a moment. He was down at First Baptist in Oakdale this morning, helping them out down there. So we praise the Lord for his usefulness and for him being able to come and share with us. You know, I encourage you to pray for Nick. He's a young minister in training, and this is part of it. So you got to look mean at him and make him smile and say amen. No, not really. But just encourage him in the Lord. Amen. And our young men need encouraging in the ministry, and we just watch him. We have him preach occasionally for us. He's a big help to me. I had a long day. I was at Pennant at 4 o'clock, had an hour there, and then back over here. I appreciate the help, Nick. I do. And so you listen to what he has to say and what the Lord's going to say through him tonight, and pray for him. Encourage him. Love him. And one day I believe we're going to license him, send him into a church and all that good stuff. And for God's glory. Amen. Amen. And if you didn't get a copy of this morning's sermon, some people were asking how to do that. That man right back there, I believe you can make copies, huh? Yeah. And so Living Without Regrets, you can just, you can get your free copy of that and listen to it over and over again. And it's on the house. So we want you to hear the word. But let's pray. Let's pray for Nick as he comes. Father, we thank you tonight for loving us. And Lord, thank you for the rain that you sent this way. And Father, we just praise you for every good thing you give us, Lord. I praise you for these people here tonight, Lord, your people. I praise you for just your hand of blessings upon us as a church. And thank you for your manifest presence among us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that. That's such a special thing. Lord, that's what it's all about, is just your presence among us, Father. And when we sing songs like we just sang, "Oh, what a Savior," Lord, when we really read the words and sing the words as a melody to your ears, Father, it's what a blessing to know that Savior is here and he's with us. And Father, I thank you for Nick that has come tonight, Lord, and his faithfulness. And Lord, I just pray you would give him unction to function. Lord, give him your anointing upon his life. And may we listen closely. And Lord, may we just see Jesus Christ in his life. And Lord, hear a word from you tonight. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Nick.
Hi, everybody. You know, I really like this thing. I put it on. I was like, let me tell Obi-Wan Kenobi I'm ready to go. I'm going to ask y'all to, where's my Bible? Oh, yeah, you stole my Bible. Open it up to Exodus chapter 20 for me. How about that? I'm going to ask y'all to open to John chapter 9 with me. Anybody who's heard me preach or listened to me preach a lot knows that I love the stories in the Bible. Like, I love how Brother Jason says all the time, if you cut the Bible anywhere, it will bleed. I think that's very true, because the whole Bible is about one person, Jesus. If you read the Bible and you don't get Jesus out of it in some way, like Brother Jason says, you need to go back and reread it again. I love these stories because, yes, we can take, and I'm sure you've read John chapter 9, my caption says, a man born blind receives sight. It's the healing of a blind man. I'm sure you've read that by now. Yes, we can take that as face value that Jesus healed a blind man. But I believe that if we dig deeper into most of these stories in the Bible, that it's got a little bit more meaning than what is just at face value. I've thought about it lately, and this is just something just to help demonstrate that the children of Israel in the Old Testament, in Exodus and the law and all that, and coming out of Egypt, I believe that symbolizes a bigger picture of our Christian faith, that we were in bondage like they were in bondage. Then God came and did whatever he had to do to get us out of there. And that we still rebel against him. We still struggle with things. But he continues to grow us and work in us to bring us to his will and to be the person that he wants us to be. And this is one of those stories in the Bible that if you just read it at face value, yes, it's a good story. And yes, I do firmly believe that we can believe this literally, that Jesus did actually heal a blind man. I believe that really happened. You know why? The Bible says it happened. I believe that we can take it at face value, and that's a good story and everything, but you can get so much deeper than just Jesus healing a blind man, and you get into a bigger picture. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind, from birth. God, I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for the rain we got earlier. I thank you just for being the God you are, for being great and mighty, God. And I thank you just for allowing us to know your name. I just ask that you would speak through me tonight. Just help us to learn more about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, now, when I first read this story, and I read that first verse, it says, the man was blind from birth. You know, I thought about it. Maybe the reason, I'm not saying this is the reason, I'm just saying that maybe the reason God put that in there, if you think about all the enemies that the Bible has nowadays, people, I don't get why scientists can't get Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That seems easier to believe than the things that they tell me happened, that some giant burp happened 5 gazillion years ago, and all of a sudden things went everywhere, and boom, there's a person. That's just too hard for me to believe. That just takes too much faith. I'm faithless. I can't believe that. Maybe the reason that God put that the man was born from blind is because was blind from birth. Maybe he put that in there to keep people from saying this. Okay, he was just momentarily blind. Or he closed his eyes. Because you know in the world that we live in, they would say that and they would try to lead us to believe that. Don't believe people who say things like that. The man was born, was blind from birth. All he had ever known in his entire existence, his whole life, was darkness. Verse 2 says, and his disciples, that's Jesus' disciples, his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3 says, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. It was a common belief back in Bible times, and you see it even in the book of Job, thousands of years before this. They believed that if you had something wrong in your life, like blindness or something like that, it was somebody's fault. Somebody wasn't just born blind. Their parents sinned, or they had to sin to bring that on. You think about in the book of Job, what happened right when God allowed the devil to take everything from him except for his wife, which I'm still wondering about that. Well, he loses everything. Y'all act like y'all never heard that before. Well, he loses everything. And he's sitting there and he's covered in boils. He's sitting there with a piece of glass, I believe it was, just rubbing at himself. And his friends walk up and say, all right, man, you can tell us what you do. Here, the disciples are showing that same belief. They believed back then that everything that went wrong, every problem, every difficulty was a direct result of the sin. That's not necessarily true. There's sometimes in our lives things that go on that we don't understand, that we look at and say it's a bad thing, that necessarily did not come from a sin as a direct result. Does sin bring hurt? Yes. Does sin ruin lives? Yes. Does it bring pain, difficulties, sicknesses, trials, temptations, all those things? Yes, sin can do that. But that does not mean that everything that you have trouble with in your life brings out, is brought on by sin. Jesus answers them. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I told you I'd forget that light. God, Jesus says, there's a bigger purpose. There's a reason. It's like, I love this analogy. I'm going to use this wall over here. Of, okay, say that we had never seen this whole wall in our entire life. Our whole life we lived like this. Would you expect me to be able to stand there and explain to you what the wall looks like? No. Because all I can see when I do that, I can barely even see all of the brown part right there. I don't know why it's brown there. But it's like us trying to stand there and explain what the wall looks like, while God is standing back over here where he can see the whole thing and say, okay, I know why that's like that. I know this is like that because that's over there. Just like in our life, we're standing so close to it that we don't understand what's going on because of the simple fact that, you know, we're human. In the book of Isaiah, God says to the prophet, he says, I don't remember exactly how the verse goes, but he basically tells them that as the heavens are high above the earth, so are God's thoughts above our thoughts, so are his ways above our ways. That God's ways are so much higher. God, Jesus, who is completely God, is standing there saying, look, you don't understand why this man was born blind, but he has a greater purpose. It's like him standing against, like the disciples standing against that wall. They don't know what's going on. Verse 6, it says, when he had said these things, that's Jesus, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Verse 7 says, and he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sin. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus did kind of some weird things. This man had been blind from birth. All he ever knew was darkness. He'd never seen a tree, never seen the sunrise, never seen the sunset, never seen anything. In their society, if you were blind, all you did was sit on the side of the road or whatever and beg. You begged people for money. You begged people for food. People took care of you. That's all he did. He was blind. And Jesus walks up and says, you know, it's not his fault that he's blind. And then he spits on the ground, rubs it together, gets him some mud, and throws it in the guy's eyes and says, go take a bath. Now, does that make any sense at all? If I was that blind man, I would have jumped up and tried to hit somebody, even though I was blind. You know, I've been just swinging, trying to hit somebody. I'd be like, man, look, just because I'm blind does not mean that you can disrespect me like that. Quit spitting in my face and go on and leave me alone. It's a good thing I'm not that blind man, because then they would have called me the blunder of the Bible or something like that. This man has a lot more faith than I do, apparently, because he gets up and goes and washes and he can see. That makes no sense at all. That's crazy. Scientifically impossible, hard to believe. Because, you know, if I take some mud and rub it in your eyes, the chances of you getting better sight are really small. The chances of you getting worse sight is actually, you might walk away not being able to see from that. But with Jesus, things work the opposite way. Now, I love this story because, like I said, that it's so much deeper than that. Yes, it's a blind man got sight. But if you think about it in this way, the man was blind. Okay, you could say that we are born blind, spiritually speaking. Born spiritually blind, not knowing anything but darkness. We are born in enmity from God, separated. Holy God, we're down here, sin's in between. There's no hope of us ever reaching God. That blind man had as much chance of working his way to getting sight as we have of working our way into God's presence. There are preachers today who would tell you, just think positive, and it's going to be okay, because God just loves us all, and it's just going to be okay. You can live your life however you want to, and then we're all going to go over to heaven, and it's just going to be a big party. Don't listen to them. Thinking positive for this blind man, he can sit there and think positive about getting sight all day long. That's not going to give him sight, just like us thinking positive, it's not going to get us any closer to God. It's crazy that Jesus took a blind man and healed him. One thing that used to bother me is, you know the verse in the Bible that says Jesus said, you will do even greater things when I'm gone? I thought, well, why aren't we walking around healing blind people and stuff like that? Why isn't Jesus still doing that? And then I read this story and I actually realized this the other day, that Jesus still is healing blind people. He still is casting out demons, just in a little different way. That the greatest miracle of all the Bible, the greatest miracle of all eternity is salvation and all the things that it took to get to it. You think about it this way. The same God who took that clay there and spit on it and put it in the guy's eyes is the same God who took clay in the beginning of the earth and shoved it together, breathed on it, and then came out me talking and breathing, my heart beating. The same God who created the earth in 6 days. The same God who calls up the Pleiades and the Orion, as the verse says in Psalms. The same God who does all those great things. Same God who made the oceans. I went on a mission trip to Florida a few weeks ago. And one of the days, it was the Wednesday night that we were there, we were sleeping on the floor in the church. And they said, we're having church tonight. We really can't have y'all here because we can't hold that many people, so y'all go somewhere. So, of course, we went down to the beach at Panama City. And we went out in the water, and what we would do is the wave would be coming in, and we would swim against it as fast as we can, which with the water being pulled to the wave, you really weren't moving. You were just kind of swimming in place like those little pools. But then the wave would crash over us, and it would pick us up, and it would carry us, you know, 30, 40 feet to the shore. And on the way there, we were powerless. It would flip us around, drag us across the bottom, beat us to death. But it was fun. Teenage guys love things like that. Basically, we were powerless as long as that wave had a hold of us. And later that evening, I was sitting on the beach, and the sun was setting. We were watching the sunset. You know, I know, that's kind of girly, but it's cool. The sun was setting over the beach, and I was looking out there thinking that the same God who hung all those stars, the same God that painted that sunset, the same God that even though those waves picked me up and carried me along and beat me to death like a rag doll, he could walk out there on that beach and tell the waves, peace, be still. And they would be still. He could walk out on that water just for fun, just because he wanted to. In Isaiah, I looked out there and I just thought about this verse. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, I believe it is, God says that he holds the oceans of the world in his hand. And I looked out there and I said, all this water, and God's just saying, I can do this and hold that in the palm of my hand. That's amazing that God, who did all that and breathed the stars into existence and hold the oceans in his hands, would let man take those same hands that held the oceans and stretch them out on a cross. And that dying, he would think about us and say, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. That, you know, Jesus, if he can tell those ocean waves, which would pick up the strongest grown man and whip him into submission, if he can tell them, stop, you know he could have told those soldiers at the cross to stop. They would have. You know he could have snapped his fingers and said, drop dead. And they would have. They didn't take Jesus' life from him. He laid it down. He gave it up. Because man can't kill God. That, we look at this story and we say that it's crazy that a blind man got his sight in such a simple way. But you think about the gospel, you stand back and think about it for real. And the gospel and us being saved is even crazier than that. The fact that God came to earth like that, the same God who made the oceans, made everything we've ever seen, and knitted us in our mother's wombs. That same God came to earth and washed the feet of disciples. The same God who did all that was born in a manger, and was born and laid in a manger. That just makes no sense to me. And, you know, it really, if we really got a hold of just what we've been saved from and the way that we were saved, I think that that would change us a lot. Because we are so used in America to walking through life just not even paying attention to things. We look at this blind man and say that he was cursed. We would say that that's a curse. But we would look at someone who's rich and say that they are blessed. But, you know, I've thought about it lately. Does being rich make you blessed? Because if that money drives you away from God, all of a sudden that money just became a curse. You think about it in America. We say that we're blessed because we have so much. Well, if all of our stuff gets in the way of us with a relationship with God, then that stuff is no longer a blessing. All of a sudden it has become a curse. Jesus healed this man because in a simple way that made no sense, just because he had his faith. You notice what this man had to do with it? All he did was trust God. And God worked a miraculous work. Verse 8 it says, therefore the neighbors of those who had previously, had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Verse 9 says, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Wouldn't it be so amazing if Christians would come, if even people in here would come out of the closet with their faith and allow God to change us? If we would do like this blind man and just trust God to do something that, you know what, you stand back and you look at it and it faces how you, it makes no sense. It really is not something that we can reason out in our heads that God would die for us. But if we would just let God change us in a way that people would look at us and say, is that even the same person? That they would look at your life, somebody who really knows you, this man's friends, would look at our lives and almost look at it like a timeline and say, this is the old Nick, this is the new Nick, but something happened right here. And at this point in his life, he changed radically. If that would be my story, if that would be all of our stories, wouldn't that be amazing if people would walk up to us after we got saved and said, are you even the same person because we were that different? It says in verse 10, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? That would be the best witnessing question ever. If we changed so much that people said, are you the same person? You said yes, and they say, well, what happened? That's the best witnessing opportunity ever. And it says in verse 11, he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. Now, Cody, if I had known you for your whole life and you were blind, and then all of a sudden you walked up to me with your eyes open, it was like nice brown hair or something like that, and I said, dude, how did you get sight? And you said, this dude spit on my eyes, and then I washed it out, and I could see. I'm sorry, but I would slap you for lying to me, because that makes no sense. There's no way that that could be right. Like, people would be ridiculed for that, because it's too simple to be true. It's almost foolish to believe that. But you know what? It's the truth. We get so worried about in our lives, about the small things, about the weather, our jobs, things like that, what kind of car we drive. But you know what? 100 years from now, that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is the way that we lived our lives. Imagine if we would just come out and tell people, you know, I've been changed by Christ. Jesus inside of me, and He made me different. That we are a new creation. Even though it makes no sense, even though the world will look at us, and Jesus said, you will suffer persecution, that even though we know that we might get laughed at and mocked, this man knew he might get laughed at and mocked, but he still told the truth. So, you know, tonight all I want, I said all that just to say this. You know what? If you have never been saved, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. This man trusted against impossible odds and something that made no sense. And you know what? He got sight. And if we have been saved, then you know what? You've been changed in just a radical way as this man, in a way that should be completely life-altering. I wonder sometimes why things are the way that they are. I pray every night that God would give us a revival in America, because you know that we need it. You'd have to be foolish not to realize that America needs the church to stand up in it. What if we allowed God, I mean, allowed Him, because we can't work our way to righteousness, if we just allowed Him to change us the way that this man changed him? That's it. God, I thank you for being so good to us. I thank you just for this story in the Bible. I just ask that you would set your word deep inside our hearts and just show us what's in the way between us and you, and just help us to get rid of it, God. I just thank you for how good you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I had a lot of thought-provoking questions in my mind. You ever think about that man, you know, his something the Lord spoke to me, Nick, was this, that his greatest weakness become his greatest testimony. His greatest hindrance God used for his greatest good. Isn't that something? And I wonder how many of us tonight in here, right now, need a conversion right there. Not in this area of salvation, and we'll talk about that in a second. And I didn't tell Nick to preach that, and Luke, that was God-led and God-fed. But how many of us have in our life something that we, bam, bam, this, you know, and I like the illustration up against the wall, and you know, and it's maybe some, like this blindness this man had, that it seems like a hindrance to you. But maybe that God wants to use what you see as a hindrance, as a greatest weakness, to become your greatest strength. But only He can do that. Amen and amen. And, you know, He said in verse 8, if you'll see that, He said, the neighbors, you know, people are watching us. They're watching us every day. We was watching Nick tonight. I was watching Nick. I'm concerned with Nick. Not because he's messing up or anything like that. And I know his mom and dad here tonight. But I'm watching Nick because I want to see the work of God in Nick's life. And I see that, not just behind the pulpit, but I see it from day to day. Nick texts me, and and I see the Lord using him. But people are watching you, and they're watching me. Now, the neighbors, the Bible says, therefore, and they which had before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that said, they knew him. They watched him. They knew him. They're watching you, and they know you. When you get out of these four walls, at work, wherever you go, people know who you are. The next verse says, and some said, this is he. And others said, no, he's just like him. You know, there's two categories of people there. Some said one thing. I said, he's the one. The others said, no, nobody can change like that. And then he spoke up in the last part of that verse and said, I am he. Which shows me a man who become a man of God, I believe, that was no longer ashamed of who his new identity is. From blindness to one that can see. When Nick shared that verse, and I hadn't read this verse in a long time, I thank God for people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for people who will say, I'm he. I'm the one who used to be like this, but yet God has made me like this. And not ashamed of where we are, but praising God for bringing us from where we've been. Well, as Becky plays tonight, we're going to have an invitation. I just feel led to do this. And Nick, you come stand in the front if you would. If you want something, you want to come, you need Nick to pray with you. He's going to be here to pray with you. And I want to ask you tonight, if you just stand right where you're at. We're not going to sing a song. I'm going to get Becky to...